I'm going to read a verse in John chapter 1, well, a couple of verses. And I'm really just going to focus in on one aspect of our study this week that I prayed about and asked the Lord, what do you want to teach us from John the Baptist? What is the one thing maybe that stood out? So I'm going to focus on that tonight. I know God spoke probably to us a lot of different things. I know he did to me, but I just want to focus on this one thing. So let me just start here in John chapter 1. This is obviously talking about John the Baptist. In verse 6, it says, "There was a man sent from God." So who was he sent from? He was sent from God. He didn't decide on his own to do what he was doing. He was sent by God. And his name was John. This man came for a witness. In other words, he was simply going to testify the things he saw and heard, right? Isn't that what a witness does? They testify simply to what they saw and heard. And it was to bear witness of the light, which we know is Jesus, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That word sent is really the one that stood out to me. And it made me think about Paul. And actually at the end of the study, it talks about running a race, right? And what God made real to me is that he had a course laid out for John, a specific calling on his life, a specific course. But you think of a course, when I took my motorcycle test, I had to do a course, and there were cones laid out, and there was just certain things I had to do, and if I didn't obey the rules, I failed. Or if I didn't do it right, I failed. And Paul actually talks about that. We got to compete in this course, running this race, according to the rules. Whose rules? God's, right? So he had a course that was laid out for him to run, and it was a calling by God. God determined what his course would be. I want to emphasize that. He didn't determine it. God determined it. And John had to learn two things to run this course. Surrender, and to trust God to finish it. Surrender and to trust God to finish it. In 1 Corinthians 9:23, again, Paul describes this like a race. He says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run?" So what does that say? We're all running a race. If we've been called by God, if we have said to the Lord, "God, I'm following you," we have entered into a course, a race that we are now running. Okay? It goes on, he says, "Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things." In other words, you discipline yourself, you train, you live your life so that you'll compete well, you'll be able to run well. I mean, he's describing like what an athlete would do that's going to train or wants to win a certain event or whatever. They're going to discipline themselves, they're going to, you know, take care of themselves, they're going to exercise because they want to be able to endure and win. It's temperate in all things. And then he says, they do it for a perishable crown. In other words, they do it for something that really doesn't matter. So in other words, you can run a race. And as men, a lot of times, we make our lives in this world, we make our careers, we make whatever the thing we're running for. And if it's temporal, there's no point to it. But Paul reminds us, no, we run for an imperishable crown. So if we're true believers, if we are men of faith, we're running for something different. We're running for an imperishable crown. And therefore, he says, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. I know why I'm running. It's not a mystery. I know why I'm running. Thus I fight. Thus I fight. Not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Now that's the Apostle Paul saying that. You know, we all look at the Apostle Paul and like, man, if I could be like the Apostle Paul. So if he's saying that, you know, what does that say about us? So faith here is depicted as a race with a determined end and a goal, right? John's life, John's course that had God had laid out for him had a determined end, and there was a goal that God had for him. And if you did your study, right, you read about that. It was prophesied, right? So I'm going to ask some of you guys to read some scriptures for me, because I want to look at that. If you want, we're going to be on page 11, where it kind of goes through many different aspects of John's life. But what did it say about John as far as his birth? The announcement of his birth. Does anyone remember what it said about him? Yes, brother. Mm-hmm. And that he would not drink what? Uh-huh. Right. Does anyone know where that comes from in the Old Testament? Nazirite vow. Who had a Nazirite vow in the Old Testament? Samson. All right. What that was basically when a baby was dedicated to the Lord in a Nazirite vow, they weren't to shave their hair. That's why Samson had the long hair. But they also weren't supposed to drink any kind of intoxicating drink or strong drink. And their lives were set apart for God. It was a Nazirite vow, you know, till death. And we all know what happened to Samson. In a way, we all, when we accept Christ, take the Nazirite vow as men. There's no other option for us if we're going to be men of faith. Because God wants to separate us out, and he wants to cause us to run the course he's laid out for us. And we're not going to do that if we're not consecrated to him, just like John was in a Nazirite vow. It's a commitment you make. It's a covenant with God. It's really giving your life to him. So as men of faith, that's how we should see our lives. That just like Samson or John the Baptist, we have taken a Nazirite vow as men. And that's going to mean something. It's going to mean disciplined lives. It's going to mean not allowing things in our lives that's going to dull our senses, that's going to distract us from the course that God has laid out for us, so we run well. So we look at John's life, the age of his parents. Wasn't it a miracle that he was even born? So we see his birth is a miracle. You know what that made me think of? And I want you to think about your salvation experience, because being born again is like being born, except it's being born in the Spirit. Well, your salvation is a miracle. You need to look back on how God saved you and understand that just like this seemed impossible, these old people having a baby in their old age, your salvation, to a lot, I'm sure, I know mine did, looked impossible, but God saved you, and you were born again. Most of you. Some of you are still in the process. What about the prophecies about his life and his ministry? Written down for John to come and fulfill one day. Do you know what it says about us that God has a book and he's got your life written down in it? Your life. He's written it down. A plan for you. Something he has specifically for you to do. A course laid out for you. The Word of God, it says, came to John in the wilderness. So in other words, he had a Nazarite vow. He was consecrated to God, but he also got away from the distractions of this world, and he dwelt in the wilderness. And it was there he heard the voice of the Lord. So how are you going to know your course? How are you going to know what God wants you to do unless you get out into the wilderness? Unless you separate yourself out to a place, a solitary place, where you spend time with God and you learn to hear from God. It was there God spoke to John about Jesus, who he was, what he was going to do. He knew God had brought him forth at exactly the right time to announce the coming of the Messiah. That's awesome. You know what? I believe, guys? All you men here, I believe God has brought you at the right time to this body because he's going to use you to proclaim who Jesus is. I believe that with all of my heart. Because I believe God's drawing you. You don't realize, just like God was working in John's life, all these miraculous things, bringing him to the place he needed to be, he's doing that with you. Whether you realize it or not, but the key is going to be, are you going to surrender to it, and are you going to trust God with what he speaks to you and step out in faith and actually do it? Because you can't unless you're a man of faith. And that's what John was, a man of faith. So I want to ask you guys tonight a question. How are you doing in your race? How are you doing? Are you running it with all your might? Are you focused on the finish line? Are there no distractions, weights, things weighing you down? Or are you jogging? Are you sitting on the sideline, watching others run by you, or just walking, slow walk? I want us to think about this tonight, as men, because some of the women are blowing by us. Actually, a lot of the women are running by us. And we should be ahead of them as men. As men. I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about what God has done in your past. I want you to think about how things are right now. I want you to think about it. That's what these studies are for. Not just to learn and look at someone else's life, but to examine our lives. I got so much out of this study this week. God spoke to me a lot. And I know I talked to a few of you, and I know he spoke to you a lot of things. But I want to just look at this race a little bit here. And I want us to look at a couple of different aspects of it. Because a lot of us start out well. I know there's some of you here, you can look back and you can remember when you started the race, you were full of life, you were ready to go, you were God's man, you were ready to conquer the world for God. And you started out strong. But something happens. Like Samson, and I could go all throughout the Bible. King Solomon, King Saul started out well. What happened to these guys? How does that happen? They forgot. They got distracted. by something else. For Solomon, it was women. For Samson, it was women. For David, it was women. What's that say, guys? But it's not just women. It was a lot of other things. It was busyness. Busyness, going after wealth. Okay? But you know what? Why that happened? They weren't meditating in God's word day and night. They weren't seeking the Lord like they were supposed to. If you look at all their lives, different men in the Bible, a lot of times that's what happens. Or sometimes they just forget. And we're going to see even John forgot for a moment. Even John. So we're in good company. I mean, God always encourages me that way. The Bible is a book of failures that God used. So be encouraged, son. But we do got to examine ourselves. So remember, in Numbers 15, it's talking to the priests, and the priests had to wear a tassel on their garments in verse 39, Numbers 15, 39. There was all reasons for this. And it says, you shall have a tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord to do that, so that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined. That's a very powerful, truthful statement. So they literally wore something on their clothes to remind them of God's commandments, because God understood how prone their hearts and their eyes were to wander towards something else. So we had them wear it on them as a reminder. Well, we have it in our hearts. We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit. Revelation 3:3 says this, remember therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Remember, guys. Remember. Hold fast. And if you've gotten distracted, if your eyes have gotten on something else, just repent. That's why repentance is a wonderful, it's such a gift from God that, you know what? I get off track all the time, but I can just repent, remember, and hold fast to God. And that's what we got to do if we get off track. If we started good and somehow we falter and we get off somewhere where we shouldn't be, the good news is I can remember, I can hold fast and repent. It's good news. All the men in the Bible I could talk about tonight, Saul, King Solomon, David, John the Baptist, I can go on and on and on. All of them were commissioned by God to a higher calling. All of them. All of you men are commissioned by God to a higher calling than what you have settled for in your lives. All of us. We settle for so little when God has a higher calling for our lives. John heard the word of the Lord in the wilderness. Have you heard the word of the Lord? Is God speaking to you, men? Has he spoken to you maybe just this week in this? Is he pushing you in a corner about something? We all know. I fought it for years. I knew in my heart when I was back in New York that what I was doing, I wasn't supposed to be doing, that God wanted my whole life. And I fought it. But God brought things in my life. He brought people in my life. He was speaking to me in different ways. And the funnel got tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter until one day I was literally pushed in a corner and I had to make a choice. It was clear. There was no, is this God or not? No, I understood that God was calling me to a higher calling for my life than what I had settled for. He had a purpose for me. And I was hindering him because I was holding on to what I wanted, to what my heart wanted, to what I was lusting after in this world. And for each of us, it's different. To each of us, it means something different. Sometimes we hear that and we think everyone should be in full-time ministry. That's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about, though, the narrow way. I am talking about knowing you are 100% fully committed and doing what God has called you to do as a disciple of Christ. And you're running your race well. And you're not allowing the things that we got to deal with in this life, the weights, the cares of this life, to hinder you from doing what God is calling you to do. John didn't allow that in his life. But there's a place in John's life when he was in prison, and that's what I want to look at here, where he doubted. John doubted. It was when the disciples, or he sent word to Jesus, and he asked, "Are you really the one? Are you really the one?" What do you think happened to John? Where did that come from? I mean, when you think about his life, you ever hear the expression, if the heavens opened and God spoke to me, it'd be done, right? The heavens opened to John. Remember when he baptized, the heavens opened and a voice spoke, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." We all say, right, if God opened the heavens, God, if you would just open the heavens and speak to me, I'd know. You know what? For a lot of you, he has opened the heavens. He's done things in your life that you cannot deny it was God speaking to you. I know for me, I need it like confirmed in a million different ways before I'm finally like, okay, God, I think I got it. It's like he makes sure I understand what he's saying to me. But you know, that's the love of God. That's what a good father we have. He wants to help us. He knows our weaknesses. He understands our struggles. He understands we need it clear, especially us guys. I don't know why women, I look at my wife sometimes and I just think, how do you do that? John stumbled in his course. Are you the one? What did Jesus do for John? What did he show his disciples? And what did he tell them to go tell John? Tell him what you saw. And he basically described what Jesus read from Isaiah, what he came to do. Tell them the blind are seeing. Tell them the lame are being healed. Tell them the good news is being preached to the poor. It's me. It is me. And I believe, I know, John finished well. John finished well. But he doubted. He had a struggle. And again, that kind of got me for some reason. It made me sit back and say, man, okay, Lord, if John the Baptist struggled in that moment, of course I'm going to struggle. Of course it's going to be hard at times. But God, I need help. I want to finish my race. I want to finish my course like John did. How do I do that, Lord? And in, you can look in your study now. Page 14. This is kind of where we take the week and we do kind of a self-examination. And you see on the left there on page 14 where it says finishing the course. Paul said, I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. And then it says, that was also John's heart cry as he completed his course and the ministry he received from the Lord. How are you running the course that God has given you? Now, in there, it asks you to write down the E's in Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, where it says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, and you remember, this is after reading about all the heroes of faith, men of faith, women of faith in there, all different kinds of testimonies in there, some valiant, some, you know, raised in the dead, but others tortured, others sawn in two. And so what we see there is it's not always what we think it is. It's not us getting out our swords and rattling them and just shouting at the top of our lungs that we're victors in Christ. I used to go to men's meetings like that. They had swords. It was cool. And they would scream at the top of their lungs. And it was like 1,000 men. I got the victory. I am more than conqueror in Christ. Yeah. No, this is when I used to go out speaking around. Well, I think it was in Indianapolis. And then I did a workshop on pornography right after that. And I had a lot of those guys in the classroom. And I asked them, who here has a struggle with pornography? Probably 80% raised their hand. I got the victory! Yeah! And this is what I said to them. I said, you know, it's easy to feel like more than conqueror when you got the little cheerleader up there getting you all riled up. But I said, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when you're home, you're all alone, you're in front of your computer, and pornography comes up on the screen? What are you going to do then when the cheerleader's not there and we're not in a crowd and we're not all worked up emotionally? What are you going to do then? And I said to him, I said, all you're going to have then is what you really have in God. That's it. So if you want to run well, you need to remove the sin that so easily ensnares and the weights that are dragging you down. And we're all going to have to ask ourselves. That's kind of my assignment for you this week. These are the four things that came out of that verse. Well, let me read it first. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance, the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance a race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So first of all, every encumbrance. Weight. It'd be like a sprinter at the starting line with weights hanging all over them. That would be ridiculous. How in the world is he going to run, encumbered by all that weight? And the weights really are the things of this life, the cares of this life. It's everything about this world that deadens your spiritual life and weighs you down. I know for myself, when I'm giving over to that, I'm on the news or watching too much movies, whatever. I'm just getting caught up in my life in this world. I get heavy. I feel like I can't even get through the day. I feel like I have nothing spiritually, and I'm just dragging myself. I just got to get through this day. Because I'm weighed down. And that's what the things of this world does. It just weighs you down, and then you're not able to run the race with endurance. And then the second thing was the sin that so easily entangles us. And that really is something different for all of us. And I'll say it this way. Just some are just more prone to things than others. So it means it could be something from your past life. It could just be something that hangs on, just something that you easily give over to. The sin that so easily entangles you. And you have to learn what those things are, and you have to make absolutely no provision for it. Those things that easily entangle us. And then it says, so you can run with endurance the race that is set before you. But the key now is in the last one. And what is it? What's the last E? The eyes. What are they looking at? No. What does that verse say? What are they looking at? Jesus, who is what? The author and the finisher of what? Our faith. Men of faith. How do I have faith? I look at Jesus. And I keep looking at Jesus. And I keep looking at Jesus. And I keep looking at Jesus. I told a guy today, I said, if you keep looking at yourself, if you keep just focusing on all your failures, your sin issues, how you feel, this and that, you ain't gonna run the race. That's discouraging. That's hopeless. Get your eyes on Jesus. You know why? He's the forerunner. In other words, he's already run the race. He's already gone before you. He's already made the way clear for you. He's already done what you can't do. And through him, he gives you everything you need that pertains to life and godliness so that you can run the race. But you got to look to him. But for men, it's hard because men, right? We got to be strong in ourselves. No, that's what the world teaches you. You can't run this race. You can't run the course God has laid out you in the flesh. You can't resist temptation in the flesh. What does Galatians 5 say? Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. I could almost say run in the Spirit. Looking on to Jesus. There's many things, guys, that if we're not careful, will knock us off course. Cares of this world, busyness, lack of prayer, Bible time, not living for the needs of others, not living for the will of God, not holding to the truth of God that's set before us. So this is what I want you guys to do, okay? It asks you, really, is there anything entangling you, tripping up your steps? Are you in need of endurance? How well are you fixing your eyes on Jesus? So I don't know what you guys all answered in there, but I want to encourage you guys, don't just take that page that you answered and close it and then, okay, next week, what's next? No, what's your plan? What's your plan to deal with those things? I had some things I wrote down here. I'm already dealing with them, so it was kind of easy for me to... I've already been dealing with them, I should say. But I still wrote them down anyway because they're issues for me. They're the things I easily go into. I'm not in sin. Okay? I'll make that clear. Pastor Jeff ain't looking at pornography. But I do get off track and maybe just watch too much black and white movies or just surf the internet news and look at this and that and just waste time. Or I get let ministry take the place of sitting at Jesus' feet. I get caught up and I think I got to do things in my own strength. And I get my eyes off Jesus and I start depending on myself. I don't last long when I do that. I don't last long at all. What is it, man? What's your plan? So I want to encourage you guys talk to one another about these things. I'm going to end here, and we're going to take some time to pray, and I want to open it up for discussion, okay, so we can pray for one another. So, Lord, I thank you for the examples we have in Scripture, Lord. I thank you that you admonished us. I think it's in 1 Corinthians 10. These things were written for your admonition so that you would learn from them. And I thank you, God, we can learn from others, Lord. And I thank you, God, that no one in the Bible was perfect. But many of them ran well, even though they stumbled and fell. And Lord, that's just part of it. And Lord, I pray you'll help us as men. Lord, I see what you want to do for this body. I see how you're working in different men in this body. I've just been so blessed to see where you've brought some of these guys in just the time I've known them, Lord. Man, what's it going to be like a few months from now, a year from now, if we keep seeking you and surrendering and letting you take us down our course that you've laid out for us and allowing you to equip us and empower us. And Lord, what are you going to be able to do through these men in their homes, in their families, at their workplaces, in this neighborhood and county? Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. And I pray right now, Lord, for the Holy Spirit to be with us as we bear our hearts to one another, as we lift each other up in prayer. God, I pray, God, you'll help us, Lord, to just let our walls down. There's no one special here. We're all just sinners that need a Savior, that need help. We're all weak. We're all weak. But Lord, you're strong. You're strong, Lord. We're all dirty, but you're righteous. And we can have your righteousness, Lord. So God, I pray you'll bless our time together, Lord, as we share and pray. I pray you'll help us, God, to put into action, to deal with the things you're showing us through this study, Lord, so that we could be the men of faith, the men that will run this race with all of our hearts, God, and bring along others behind us, God. So I thank you, God, for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.